is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Officials expressed relief today that SARS cases around the globe have dwindled, but the International Conference on the Virus concluded in Malaysia with the origin of SARS still a mystery and the means to eradicate the illness still unknown. WHO Director General Gro Harlem Brundtland says the world must still be vigilant to avoid recurrence in places where the disease has already tapered off.
That we don't have a re-entry and that we don't become complacent because we think it's all over. Because in fact, as long as the virus is there and as long as patients are carrying the virus, it can be spread.
Brundtland says countries will at least be better prepared when the next mystery disease strikes, and they should be quick to issue travel advisories. She noted that such advisories played a large role in controlling the spread of SARS. More than 1,000 scientists, doctors, and health officials took part in the two-day meeting organized by the World Health Organization to trade ideas on how to wipe out the virus. Montgomery County, Maryland council members are starting to react over the resignation of Police Chief Charles Moose, who gained national attention during the hunt for the D.C. area sniper. Councilmember Steve Silverman says he's disappointed over the chief's decision to step down. He says Moose has been an outstanding public servant and handled the D.C. area sniper investigation well. Silverman also says he wants Moose back as the county's top cop.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free, completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
Texas Governor Rick Perry has called for a special session of the state legislature to deal with redistricting. In his request to the lieutenant governor and the speaker of the House, Governor Perry declared, quote, "I believe duly elected officials, not federal judges, should be responsible for drawing district lines." The 30-day session that will deal with the contentious issue of redistricting will begin on Monday, June 30th. In May, a number of Democrats left the state House chamber and stayed in Ardmore, Oklahoma for over a week in a successful legislative maneuver that killed a
former Vice President
Al Gore is looking for financial backers for a liberal cable television network. Time Magazine reports he's hoping to help Democrats fight conservative voices in the media. The magazine reports Gore has met with Hollywood figures interested in politics and with wealthy investors. The report said Gore's role in such a network remained unclear. Last year, Gore was quoted as saying there are major voices speaking for Republicans on air, and some of them are financed by wealthy, ultra-conservative billionaires who make political deals.
My dad's boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
If the teachers' union gets its way, there may soon be a state law that limits the class sizes in New York City's public schools. United Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten is spearheading a petition drive to create a commission that would study the issue and determine how much it would cost to reduce the number of children in each classroom.
There are three things that are really, really important in schooling. You have to have a qualified teacher in front of every single classroom. Teachers and kids need to connect, and that's where lower class size comes into play. And number three, you have to have safe schools.
The union needs 45,000 signatures by July 5th to get the proposed commission onto the ballot for voters to decide. Union leaders hope to collect more than 100,000 signatures. Stocks turned in a mixed performance today with blue chips sagging, but there was some strength in technology. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 29 points to 92.93. The NASDAQ was up 8 to 16.77. The S&P 500 lost nearly 2 points to 10.10. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. God, it feels like a Monday. If you're listening on the IE America Radio Network, welcome. Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Radio Left, welcome. RadioPower.org, welcome. WhiteRoseSociety.org, welcome. Or however else you have figured out to hear this program. Quick, before Orrin Hatch has your computer blown up. Many thanks to Charlie Langton for sitting in for me last night. And tonight, a lot of sound from the big three, Rami, Ari, and Too Stupid to Ride a Segway. So stick around for that. Over the past couple of days, when I was dealing with a nasty situation, which is now taken care of, I had a chance to read some of the email. By the way, if you email me and I don't email back, I deeply apologize. It's just getting to the point now where it's literally overwhelming. And again, this is a two-person operation, Kathy and me, and, listen to him whine. And I hate sending a form letter, you know? We try to answer as many as we can, but just ain't going to happen. So I do apologize in advance for not responding to all the emails, but I had a chance to read them. Boy, you guys really, some of you really jumped in my case about having the astrologer on last Friday night. A lot of people saw it for what it was, just an interesting conversation. But I just have to share a couple of these with you. This is from, I'm going to leave out the names, because some of these names you may recognize as regular emailers to the program. The first one says, it will disabuse you of these ridiculous notions better than any caller will be able during your show. Please stick to political analysis. Oh, I see. The subject line says, read Demon Haunted World by Carl Sagan. I've read it. I have read it. And I, you know, I agree with Sagan's points of view. But the writer says, if you'll read Demon Haunted World by Carl Sagan, it'll disabuse you of these ridiculous notions better than any caller will be able during your show. Please stick to political analysis. You're losing a lot more audience and credibility than you think. Oh, really? All right. Next one says, seriously, check this stuff out. And the writer sends me skeptic.com. Yeah, okay, I'm familiar with that website. The email says, numerology is math too, right? He's referring, or she's referring to the fact that I said astrology is based on math, or is math. I think exactly what I said, well, it's math. which is probably wrong. It's based on math. Anyway, this writer says numerology is math too, right? It's also BS, only it doesn't say BS. And then he gives me another website to expose astrology. He says, if you want to argue about spirituality, do it on a show about that. And then some other cuss words here. And then this one, Mike, I was so this is not about the astrology. Hold on, I'll get to the this one in a second. Another one. This is from another one of our regular emailers. The center of my being and the source of all my sense of justice and moral outrage comes from looking up at the night sky and thinking, 100 billion stars in our galaxy and 100 billion galaxies, and no reason at all that any of it should be there, period. And here I am, 4 minutes without oxygen away from not being, and I find all that completely awesome and wonderful and magical and, yes, spiritual. But as soon as that sense is blasphemed, in effect, by someone trying to explain it through religion, including astrology, then I must protest. The important thing is the awe and the wonder at just being alive. Find astrology even more offensive than Bush's Christianity, and I find that mighty offensive. Okay, well, sorry. Here's another one about the Friday show. Astrology is exactly the same as the religion that Bush uses. It's rubbish. You use common sense and a secular approach to expose all the evils of the Republican Christian right. To bring astrology into it just gives your enemies ammunition. It puts you right on their level. I weigh 190 pounds and I'm about 3,000 miles away from you, but I have a greater gravitational attraction on you than Mars does. Okay. All right. Okay, now to close this out. And don't call in about it. I'm just sharing some of these emails with you, okay? To close it out, this is from Lakota, who posted this at my website, MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't gone there, for God's sake, go register and participate. There's some real food fights going on there. Great, great discussions, too. But Lakota sent this in. It's a quote from a book entitled The Story of Maps, published in Boston in 1949, written by Lloyd Brown. This quote is from page 180 in that book. Quote, the quadrants, sextants, and octants developed throughout the centuries were little more than segments of the ancient astrolabe, refined and adapted to meet the special requirements of surveyors and navigators. The modern nautical almanac, with its complex and multifarious tables that make it possible to find the latitude at any hour of the day or night, is nothing more than the sum total of ancient astrology, streamlined and perfected by astronomical instruments, including telescopes. End quote. Well, if I totally destroyed your faith in this program, that certainly was not my intention, but maybe just lighten up a little bit, okay? Now, I also got this email. This comes like a week late. Apparently, this emailer listened to WhiteRoseSociety.org, went back a week and a half ago, and heard the quote interview, close quote, that I had with the freak from the Christian Action Network. Now, I took a lot of crap from some of you people about that, too. You said I was being less than honest because I didn't identify the fact that, I think people like my guest that night are just total morons. But what I was surprised was how many emails I did have to respond to from people who thought I was being authentic in jerking this guy around. Frankly, it was fun to me. I just, as bigoted as you are, dude, I'm going to be more bigoted. That was kind of the game I was playing. Did he know the game was being played? No, he didn't. Was that fair on my part? Hell no. Am I a fair person? Sometimes, not always. How about you? So I had fun kicking the guy's ass in the manner in which I decided to kick his ass. That's all. But apparently a lot of listeners went, whoa, here's one of them. Mike, I was so dismayed at your statements tonight regarding Jews, homosexuals, and Catholics that I cannot in good conscience listen to your program anymore. I feel betrayed. After so much support of your show and then the writer gives the call letters of the radio station, of Radio Station Blank to air your program, to hear your true feelings about these important demographic groups. My true feelings? Oh, my God. The writer goes on. As a Jewish transsexual... Well, as a Jewish transsexual, I was horrified at your statements that dropping a bomb on 100,000-plus homosexuals at Disney World was a good idea. Hearing you say that Jews are Christ killers and should burn in the lake of fire really made my heart sink after 18 months of believing you to be a socially conscious progressive liberal. I listened closely as the episode unfolded for a hint of facetiousness to ease my troubled mind, but only heard more bigoted hate-mongering, the same as I would expect from Michael Savage. Thank you for letting us know your position on these issues. I feel like I've lost a close friend, and I won't be listening anymore. Very sincerely. And then the person signs off. Oh, my God. Now, I wrote back to this person. I said, look, you couldn't find a more pro-gay heterosexual if you looked from coast to coast, border to border. But this teaches me a lesson that I learned in talk radio a long time ago. And that is, sometimes, unless you are absolutely, explicitly upfront and say to your audience, well, the next segment is going to be parody, sometimes people don't get it. And in the process of not getting it, the thing that really boggles my mind is how quickly people who say they support your point of view will turn on you. Not a question. Not like, hey, listen, do you really believe in astrology? Not a question like, hey, did you really say that Jews should be burned in the lake of fire? You know, no questioning what the person heard. Just immediate conclusion. Well, Malloy hates Jews. Malloy hates Catholics. Malloy hates homosexuals. And he believes in astrology. Okay. Lesson learned again and again and again. For those of you who did understand the point and did understand what was going on in both of those shows, thank you. Thank you for not being the type of listener to whom every single nuance, trick, thing has to be explained. Oy. Well, let's not. Kathy, I do not want astrology phone calls tonight. I have too many. No, I've got too many topics to cover. So you'll have to tell that first caller that we're not going to talk about that. Okay? I'm serious. I don't want to piss anybody off here, but I said no calls on astrology. So please let the caller on the first line know. Thank you. However, Madeline is calling from Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Madeline.
How you doing, Mike?
Fair to partly cloudy. How about you?
Pretty cloudy over here in Brooklyn, too.
Yeah, I hear you.
Listen, I'm calling because I was just tuning into your show. And you got that email from that Jewish transsexual. And I didn't want you to think it was me. Because I loved that bit when you were talking to the right winger who in the whole bombing Disney
right.
World thing.
Right, right. Are you?
I was in hysterics.
Are you a Jewish transsexual too?
Well, I'm more of an intersexual, but.
Well, good. I didn't think.
I didn't find it even marginally offensive. If anything,
right.
I should send you a bill for my stomach stitches coming out because I was laughing my ass off.
Right, I hear that. Well, Madeline, I knew it wasn't from you because the person signed it. I just didn't want to, give the person's name or city or what station he or she listened to because, it might be embarrassing.
Okay, well, I just, because I want to make sure listeners don't lump us. All of us Jewish transsexuals into the same boat.
I got you. Thanks, Madeline.
All right. Take care, Mike. That was great.
Okay. Our webmaster is checking in here. Mark.
Wait, that's a tough one to follow up after.
Yeah, it is.
Welcome back.
Now, you're not a Jewish transsexual, are you?
Not last time I checked.
Oh,
but thanks for asking.
Yeah, okay.
First of all, I want to say welcome back. And second of all, I just wanted to, I understand everybody's a little bit tense right now. There's a lot of really heavy stuff going on. So people kind of have a hair trigger. But people have to lighten up.
Once in a while. But like I said in my little opening monologue, we're in perilous times. If we have to explain everything we're going to do before we do it, like, hey, folks, hold on, here comes parody.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Of course, I could say I'm sometimes that way, too. All right, got it, Mark. Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Quick break here. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad? Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
All righty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werbe, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werbe, as we make plans to take back our country.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Hey, news we won't see on the networks or Fox or most of the alphabet. I had a couple of things here I jotted down. Reports say that Iraq has a couple of weeks before chaos descends. Now, that's from an Iraqi who's 80 years old, who was a former foreign minister and is looked at by most of the occupiers and by Iraqis as being a possible leader. But he says a couple of weeks and then chaos, which for me raises the immediate one-syllable question. So, So, order and democracy never were objectives of the Bush crime family where it concerned Iraq. An awful lot of Iraqis, millions of them, were put in the trick bag, the joke bag. The American sheeple, to a certain extent, also. But order, democracy, a decent life, that's not part of the Bush crime family's outline for Iraq. If that happens to happen, fine. But it's an unintended consequence of the Bush attack on Iraq. The intended consequences include conquest of Iraq, permanent military bases, a false sense of security for Israel and the United States, and oil. Hello? Those were and are the objectives. Period. In Iraq, U.S. troops ambushed again and again and again, wounded and killing more U.S. soldiers. Not to mention Iraqi civilians. It's really turning into just a free fire zone over there, isn't it? But didn't Bush say mission accomplished? How many American soldiers have died now as a result of snipers, ambushes, people walking up to their vehicles and shooting them in the back of the head since he landed on the USS Abraham Lincoln? How many have died? 50? 40? Do the American moms and dads, wives, children of those dead Americans, are they willing to say, well, okay, no big deal, my son died fighting for the liberation of Iraq? Huh? I've said it before, if I had a son, and I always use the male gender for combat, I'm sorry, you'll forgive me, I'm not trying to be a sexist, but that's just the way I talk. Had I had a son in combat in Iraq, a son who had joined the military and wound up in Iraq and had been killed, I would start walking towards the White House to demand Bush resign until somebody shot me. Trust me on that one. Bush said mission accomplished. So once again, we can see his and his regime's complete disregard for the lives of our soldiers. Again, let's forget the brown people that America, the American military, loves to kill. And isn't it always? Well, I guess in Serbia wasn't brown people. I guess those were white people. But for the most part, it's usually brown people. And we Americans, whether no matter what shade of flesh tone we are, we go along with it, you know. But it's usually, isn't it brown people or so-called yellow people that usually feel the lash? I don't know. But once again, his and his regime's complete disregard for the lives of our soldiers. Why does the military continue to support this coward? Is there a blood rush? Is it fun to go into combat? Is that what it is? Did the generals all the way down to the privates? Is there some real rush? Maybe there is. Maybe war is not hell. Maybe war is living on the edge. Maybe killing and running the risk of being killed. I don't know. I've never done it. Maybe running the risk of killing or being killed makes it all worthwhile. Is that why the military supports this coward, this deserter? Couple more points as soon as we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
All they got is a mess boy's job for me, Uncle Sam says. Keep on your apron, son. You know I ain't gonna let you shoot my big Navy gun. Got my long government letters, my time to go. When I got to the army, found the same old Jim Crow. Uncle Sam says, two camps for black and white. But when trouble starts, we'll all be in that same big fight.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's day 10 on the picket line for nearly 500 telephone repair workers in Kentucky with no end in sight. The Alltel Corporation bought its Kentucky operations from Verizon last year on the condition that the company honor all existing contracts, including its union's collective bargaining agreements. But two locals of the Communications Workers of America say the company hasn't lived up to its end of the bargain. They filed a complaint with the Kentucky Public Service Commission, as well as charges of bad faith bargaining with the National Labor Relations Board. A union spokesperson says Alltel wants to gut its health care obligations to retirees, increase health care rates, and wants free rein to hire outside contractors. No new talks are scheduled.
A national referendum to protect workers in Italy from unjust termination failed this week after less than half the electorate cast ballots on it. A general strike last year forced Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi to drop plans to reform Italian labor law, making it easier for companies to fire workers. That backlash led to the referendum, but only 23.4% of eligible voters made it to the polls. This opens the door for Berlusconi to try again and weaken worker protections, but there's no indications yet he's ready to do that.
The Bush administration's quashing of safety regulations on a list of poisonous chemicals has labor groups accusing the White House of toxic politics. The regulations, which were first drafted during the Clinton administration, were supposed to have regulated the use of a range of chemicals that have been linked to a host of injuries and deaths among U.S. workers, including an explosion at a New Jersey plant that killed five in 1995. But recently, the Bush White House quietly shelved the proposal. According to the Center on Public Integrity, industry groups opposed to the plan gave Bush and Cheney more than $216,000 in the run-up to the 2000 presidential election.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
You can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
I know what it means to hug mothers and wives.
27 before the hour. Just a couple more items here very quickly and then to your phone calls. George Bush has demonstrated over his entire, as have most of the people in his administration, a complete disrespect and disregard for soldiers, for the U.S. military. Rumsfeld's comment about I'm paraphrasing, but they were just useless, just cannon fodder. The draftees, Bush's absolute and utter refusal to go along with the idea back in 1969, 1970 that his wealthy white ass deserved to be shot at by the VC just as much as a non-wealthy, non-white ass deserved to be shot at, as long as U.S. foreign policy back in the 60s said, let's go kill some Southeast Asians, and we have a draft. But like so many rich white boys, Bush ducked out. That's why the mere thought of his being commander-in-chief just kind of gags me. And now it's Marines to Liberia. Have you heard this? Pappy Bush sent the troops to Somalia, and you know what happened there. If you don't, you probably saw the movie Black Hawk Down. You understand, 18, 20 U.S. Rangers were killed. And Clinton, that terrible situation was handed to Clinton by Pappy Bush. Clinton pulled the troops out. So now, back to Africa. Marines to Liberia. Now, who says, who in our foreign policy, our State Department, who in the United States, what citizens group, what newspaper editorial writer, who decided that we were going to send the Marines to Liberia? Are they going there to protect civilians? There is a civil war raging there. The Liberian dictator, Charles Taylor, is probably just as evil, if not more so, than Saddam Hussein. Is that why we're going there, to protect civilians? Are we going to end the war that's been raging for years? No. We are sending troops there to secure the oil fields. Unbeknownst to us, over the past few years, us being American citizens, U.S. imports of African oil has ratcheted up to the point where we're getting, I believe the figure I saw is 18 to 20% of our foreign oil now comes from Western Africa. Huge oil fields there, all over the place. So here we go again. Why do they hate us? One of the stories I want to cover tonight, if we get a chance, maybe it's because we kill their families and destroy their livelihoods. There's a story about an Iraqi farmer who is suing Rumsfeld, U.S. Defense Department, for $200 million. His entire family was wiped out, plus a bunch of his livestock, 17 members of his family who were trying to avoid the conflict, living in three tents out in a field somewhere, were hit by missiles. And the story we covered a week or so ago, just kind of mentioned it, about the occupying a military command in Iraq is demanding Iraqi citizens turn in their guns, turn in their weapons. Oh, they're allowed to keep certain weapons to defend their homes, since the occupying army can't defend Iraqis. But beyond that, the U.S. military said, turn them in. And if you don't turn them in, we're going to come after your ass. We're going to lock you up. Now, the Iraqis are refusing to turn in their guns. This story, to me, raised a couple of issues. First, who would have thought that a rotten dictator like Saddam Hussein would have allowed weapons to be owned by the citizens he was suppressing? That's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? And the second thought is, had we supported the people of Iraq after Gulf War I, when Pappy Bush exhorted them to rise up, and of course, immediately upon their rising up, Pappy Bush went off to play golf or make money with the Carlyle Group or whatever the hell he did, and Iraqis were slaughtered. That's what the mass graves are that we're finding. These are slaughtered Shias who responded to the United States government saying, hey, rise up, we'll support you, throw this son of a bitch out of office, overthrow him, kill him, slaughter him, get rid of the Ba'ath Party. And the Iraqis, their country was in chaos, they said, okay, let's do it. And what happened next? George Bush turned his back, and thousands of them were slaughtered. And now we discover the mass graves, and now a thug and a punk like R.A. Fleischer can say, see, there's mass graves. So even if there are no weapons of mass destruction, which there surely are, there's our justification. See how twisted this crew is? Had we supported the people of Iraq like Pappy Bush promised, they would have led the revolt against Saddam Hussein. And last, regarding this particular issue, would you turn in your weapons after an invading and now occupying foreign army demanded you to do so? Would you? No, of course you wouldn't. Neither would I. And then we have some sound for you a little bit on tonight about Rumsfeld again disrespecting the United States military and the troops and the soldiers who are being shot down like so many ducks on a carnival midway in Iraq. And Rumsfeld has some just vilely snotty comments about those dead Americans. We'll get to all that. Or we'll try to. Jerry is calling from Bardstown, Kentucky. Jerry, this is your first time calling?
Yes.
Welcome first aboard, sir.
Oh, thanks a lot. I'm a long-time listener. I used to listen to you when you were on WLS.
You know, I was going to say, Jerry in Bardstown, Kentucky, I think you used to call the program back then, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
Sent you a few emails.
That must have been it.
Yeah. But now, this week, I got one of those new Sirius home radios.
Did you?
So right now I'm listening on Sirius.
Well, I thought it's pretty good because we're thinking about getting one.
Well, I only got it yesterday, but yes, it's fine.
We're going to get one.
You have to have an adapter for the home,
right?
And you can get an adapter for a car. You can use the same unit.
So that's how you pick up the program now.
Right.
Well, good. Well, I'm very glad you found us, Jerry.
I just wanted to make a comment on Iraq. A few days ago, you mentioned something that I think is right. Iraq is the Bush administration's experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
They're not going to mold Iraq in the image of the United States. They're going to experiment with it and use that for the United States.
I have a sneaky suspicion that some of the things they're doing there, like the trying to round up the weapons, like trying to control the media, like trying to dictate to the Iraqi people who will sit on their councils and who will be elected to their government. Yeah, to me, it's a petri dish or an experimental lab that these thugs are doing. They've got a captive 23 million population, a group of people to do it with. Why not?
Well, sure. You know, they fired all the workers, and now they're going to bring in the private contractors.
That's right.
To hire for $1 an hour or maybe even 50 cents an hour.
Yeah. Sure. Terrible stuff. Terrible stuff. Jerry, I'm glad you found the program. I hope you'll call again, okay?
Oh, indeed I will.
All right, sir. Take care. Thanks for checking in. Woody is calling from Little Rock, Arkansas. Woody, this your first time calling?
Sure is, Mike.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Mike, you know, you seem like a really bright guy, but you know, when you talk about Republicans twisting the truth, I just listened to your last monologue, and it seems to me you've kind of twisted some of your facts.
Tell me which ones I twisted.
Well, let's start in Somalia. Bill Clinton put American troops under UN command for the first time in history.
Right,
when they asked for armor.
Now, hold on just a second, because one of the things I don't deal with very well on this program is somebody who wants to present what they call a set of facts that are not true. Are you suggesting that George Bush Sr. did not put those troops in Somalia?
I didn't say he didn't commit them to Somalia.
Okay.
What I'm saying is once they were there, the Clintons had taken over, and Clinton put them under UN command.
So what?
For the first time in history.
So what?
So what happened was when they needed armor, they didn't have any armor there. They had requested it, but Aspen had...
Okay, now I'm going to interrupt you again, because once again, I'm not going to tolerate you or anybody calling this program telling me that I have lied or twisted the facts. I said Pappy Bush put U.S. troops there. That is a fact. Now, what happened to those troops after Pappy Bush put them there, here's the bottom line. Bill Clinton got them out. Now, if you want to move on to something else, let's move on.
In other words, you don't want to hear another version of it. You don't take people...
There are not versions of the truth, sir. I made a very clear statement. Pappy Bush put the troops there. That's what I said.
Clinton was president.
Oh, Christ. Okay, listen, thanks for checking in. I'm moving on. I'm not going to waste my time or the audience's time with this kind of nonsense. Okay? Now, if you would have called me up and said, Mike, you're lying. Pappy Bush didn't put him in. Clinton put him in. Okay? What I said was what I said. Now, I know some of you Republicans, you conservatives, you right-wingers, choke, absolutely choke on the facts, or you will try to find something, Jesus, always something to put on the Clintons. It's boring. I just don't want to deal with it, okay? Mark is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Mark.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Hey, it's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Hey, I won't get into specifics, but your parody I definitely understood, and you had me on the floor rolling in with laughter. So
yeah, that's how a lot of people took it about that guy from Christian Action Network and the homosexual thing. I was just surprised how you know how that works. People misunderstand and they'll just turn on you like a snake.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I haven't turned on you. Don't worry.
Okay.
Just. Two quick comments, two interesting things. I read online that apparently Bush signed an executive order in May that basically says that the U.S. cannot be held accountable for any of the actions during the invasion. So the farmer that you mentioned earlier in your monologue that wants to sue the government, he's going to have no recourse legally because of this new executive order that Bush has signed.
Yeah, well, I didn't think that he would be able to get this any place other than an Iraqi court, and even not an Iraqi court now because the occupying force there will determine what the Iraqi judicial system will consist of. But it's interesting that he's retained an Iraqi lawyer. I don't know where he's going to file his lawsuit, but mm-hmm. but yeah, there's that's what the Bush crime family does, especially Bush. They will sign these executive orders very quietly. Just like there's one I'm going to post on my website tonight that was signed several weeks ago that pretty specifically says all of Iraq's oil assets now belong to the United States. And we never hear about this.
Exactly.
We don't know about this. CNN, for the umpteenth night, is telling us about the Lacey Peterson death, mm-hmm. but they don't tell us about Bush signing executive orders that attempt to shield him and his criminal administration from lawsuits.
And moving on, just related to that, it's still in Iraq, is 2 days ago, Claire Short testified in the British investigation that she was told by high-level intelligence professionals mm-hmm. that Blair and Bush had a secret agreement going back all the way to last summer
yeah.
to attack Iraq in February and March of this year.
Yeah, I've got that story, too, which I'll post on my website. When I saw that, I just thought, oh, it's just amazing. It's amazing the lies that were told to the British people and to the American people. It's just outlandish. Now, in Britain, of course, they get very pissed off when, mm-hmm. when they find out that their leaders have misled them, especially to the point where the leaders commit their sons, their husbands, into a war.
Exactly.
In this country, we are so asleep at the wheel here. We are so used to this Bush crime family. Totally, they shouldn't be in office to begin with. That for some strange reason, we just kind of sit back and say, "Yeah, well, okay."
Well, that's a perfect segue to finish with. I'm trying to get the meme out there. Clinton lied, nobody died. Bush lied, soldiers died.
I've got that. You sent it to me, and, mm-hmm. and I had printed that off. Yeah, Clinton lied, nobody died. Bush lied, soldiers died. That's right, and they continue to die.
You got it.
Hey, thanks for checking in, Mark.
Take care, bye-bye.
All right, sir, appreciate it. Peter is calling from Midland, Michigan. Peter, this is your first time calling, too, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome aboard, sir.
Yeah, I love your show.
Thank you.
A diehard. You know, I was astounded the other day when this news came out about Bush's national security advisor on terrorism.
Oh, is that not incredible? He has joined the Kerry campaign specifically to get Bush out of office?
Yeah, I just about fell out of my chair.
Ah.
And I said, this is a bombshell.
Right.
And it was, I think, front page Washington Post.
Right, it was.
And I have not seen it on any network.
No, of course not.
I saw a brief blip on CNN.
Yeah, and I don't think we are going to see it on television, but let somebody say, well, I've got a tape of Bill Clinton talking to his girlfriend, and they will cover it for the next 2 years.
Yeah, and I was scanning the channels for those couple nights there, waiting to see if it was going to be on, you know, because I thought, my God, this is huge.
Oh, it's incredible. It was in Monday's Washington Post. It's just an unbelievable story. The guy's name is Rand Beers.
Yeah.
And his story that was told pretty much on the Washington Post, on the front page of the Post, was just stunning.
Yeah, I turn on the TV, and I've got Lacey Peterson.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Lacey Peterson coming out of my ears.
Yeah, Lacey Peterson and Scott Peterson.
My God.
Yeah, and Scott Peterson's getting all kinds of love letters. And next we'll hear that the bomber, the other white guy that they caught in North Carolina, what's his name? The guy that blew up the bomb at the Olympics.
Rudolph.
Yeah, Eric Rudolph. Yeah, that's what we'll hear next. He's getting all kinds of, because he is cute, he's getting all kinds of letters from women who, women who want to marry him and have his babies, you know, unbelievable stuff, right? Peter, thanks for checking in. I'm glad you found the program. I hope you call again.
Well, thanks for your work, man.
All right, sir. Take care. Now, what Peter was talking about. Let me quote a few lines here from the Post on Monday. 5 days before the war began in Iraq, as Bush prepared to raise the terrorism threat level to orange, a top White House counterterrorism advisor looked at what was in his inbox, what he was supposed to be telling the American people about and advising the president, and He stared at the color-coded threats for 5 minutes, and he called his wife, and he said, I'm quitting. I'll tell you why when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky.
We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying greens.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Perhaps the most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot fight a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
Well, guess what, dude? You didn't learn it very well in Vietnam, did you? So anyway, 5 days before the war began in Iraq, Bush and his thugs decided to raise terrorism alert threat level in this country to orange to divert attention and get people all upset. Rand Beers, who was a White House counterterrorism advisor, he was one of Bush's chief advisors, went into work that day, and he looked at the classified reports that were on his desk about plots to shoot, bomb, and burn and poison Americans. According to the Washington Post, he looked at all this for about 5 minutes, and he called his wife and said, "I'm quitting." Now, why did he say that? Well, he goes on to explain in the Post article, bottom line is he knew it was all absolute trash. Now, the resignation of Rand Beers was apparently a surprise in Washington, but what he did next was even more astounding. 8 weeks after leaving the Bush White House, he volunteered as national security advisor for Senator John Kerry, who, as you know, is a Democratic candidate for president. And in a campaign, obviously, to get rid of his former boss, George Bush. Now, all of this raises the question that the Washington Post raised. What does this intelligence insider, Rand Beers, know? What would make him resign his position as one of Bush's top security advisors and join the opposition? Boom! Beers remained silent until the Post talked to him 2 days ago on Monday about leaving his National Security Council job as special assistant to the president for combating terrorism. But now he says this administration wasn't matching its deeds to its words in the war on terrorism. They're making us less secure, not more secure. Hear that? Hear that? They're making us less secure, not more secure. He went on to say, as an insider, I saw the things that weren't being done, and the longer I sat and watched, the more concerned I became until I got up and walked out. Dear God. Now, this guy served on the National Security Council under Ronald Reagan, Pappy Bush, Bill Clinton, and too stupid to be president. Four successive presidential presidents. Successive presidents, I should say. Aye. But with this guy, he got up and walked out. Why? We'll talk about it a little bit when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Listening to Mike Molloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of the Mike Molloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Molloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Molloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The Maryland police chief who led the Washington, D.C. area sniper shootings is stepping down from his post at the end of this month. Allison Brown has more.
Montgomery County Police Chief Charles Moose gained nationwide attention during the D.C. area sniper attacks. The attacks, which left 10 people dead, occurred last October. And since then, the chief has written a book titled 3 Weeks in October, detailing his account of the investigation. While there has been no official reason stated for his resignation, that book has been the source of controversy for Moose. Earlier this year, a county ethics board said he could not use his public office of police chief for personal gain. The book, though, already posted for advanced sales on the popular website Amazon.com. Allison Brown, Silver Spring, Maryland.
Mexican police say they have arrested fugitive Max Factor heir Andrew Luster as he was being snagged by bounty hunters. Police say Luster is one of 6 people being held in Puerto Vallarta after a street fight. Luster was convicted in California on more than 80 counts of raping and drugging women and sentenced to more than 120 years in prison. He posted $1 million bail and fled. Mexican authorities said they were summoned when 3 men attacked Luster. The men used some kind of spray, handcuffed him, and bundled him into a truck that police intercepted near the city's international airport. The governor of Michigan is standing by to help a town that's been rocked by 2 nights of rioting. Governor Jennifer Granholm's press secretary Liz Boyd says the state hasn't been asked to send in the National Guard, but officials are ready to respond if needed. Hundreds of rioters took to the streets following the death of a black motorcycle rider who died during a police chase Monday when he slammed into a house. Protesters threw rocks and bottles and set cars and buildings on fire. As many as 15 people have been injured. Local officials have declared a state of emergency and a curfew is being considered.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You looked great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The Holocaust Museum in Houston, Texas, has countered claims by the Romanian Ministry of Public Information that there was no Holocaust inside Romanian borders during World War II. Museum spokesman Steve Johnson said the Romanian statement was historically inaccurate.
Disturbing to organizations like, you know, the Holocaust Museum here in Houston, other Holocaust centers, and, you know, the survivors and everyone else. And that is, to some extent, some form of denial of the Holocaust in general.
The Holocaust Museum Houston and other similar organizations contacted Romanian officials yesterday. Johnson says this morning the Romanian government withdrew its denial.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Some local activists say immigrants who work at Chicago's best-known buildings are being unfairly targeted as part of the war on terror. Emma Lozano of the Union Latina organization says Latino immigrants working at the Sears Tower, the Hancock Building, and O'Hare Airport have been arrested and harassed.
They're in the process right now of doing about 30,000 background checks of people who work within these buildings, and they're going by discrepancies in Social Security numbers.
Union Latina held a demonstration outside the Hancock Building this morning, during which they called on local elected officials to address the problem. They say new Homeland Security measures actually undercut immigrants' rights and do nothing to increase security. It was a mixed day on Wall Street today. Blue chips sagged, but technology kept it afloat. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 29 points to 92.93. The NASDAQ was up 8 points to 16.77. The S&P 500 lost nearly 2 points to 10.10. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and water pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Just a little bit more from this Washington Post article from Monday, and then back to your phone calls. Rand Beers, who was a National Security Council member and counterterrorism advisor to four presidents, Reagan, Pappy Bush, Bill Clinton, and the Bush Jr., too stupid to be president, resigned 5 days before Bush's invasion of Iraq, because he, Rand Beers, took a look at what the Bush crime family was doing and said he had enough, and he walked out. Now, that's, you can make the case, that's bad enough. But worse, he then decided to sign on to the John Kerry campaign to actively toss his former boss out of work. Rand Beers said that counterterrorism is like a team sport. The game is deadly. There has to be offense and defense. The Bush administration is primarily offense and not into teamwork. That was his. That was one of the comments he made to the Post. Now, that's language that you and I might find offensive, but what the hell? As long as, I mean, in that particular mindset, in that particular global terrorism and counterterrorism game, quote, quote, then his statement makes sense. Now, according to the Washington Post, much of what Rand Beers knows is classified, and he can't discuss it. But he will say that the Bush administration is, quote, underestimating the enemy, end quote. He goes on to say the Bush administration has failed to address the root causes of terror. Duh. And he says the difficult long-term issues both at home and abroad have been avoided, neglected, underfunded and shortchanged. He says that the focus on Iraq has robbed domestic security of manpower, brain power, and money. He further says the Iraq war created fissures in the United States counterterrorism alliances. Duh. And could breed a new generation of Al-Qaeda recruits. In other words, what this guy is saying is precisely what you and I have been talking about for months. He tells the Washington Post that many of his government colleagues thought the attack on Iraq was, quote, an ill-conceived and poorly executed strategy, end quote. He says the war in Afghanistan, for example, was a job begun, then abandoned. Rather than destroying Al-Qaeda, the fighting only dispersed them. The flow of aid to that country, as you know, and I know, because we participate around this little campfire every night, the flow of aid has been non-existent. The U.S. military presence there is too small. Rand Beers says, quote, terrorists move around the country with ease. We don't even know what's going on. Osama bin Laden could be almost anywhere in Afghanistan. End quote. Rand Beers also says that within our own borders, here at home, Homeland Security is suffering from what he calls policy constipation. Nothing gets done. He says, if you're looking at things from a political perspective, and I will add this, that's all the Bush crime family does, Rand Beers says it's easier to go to war. You don't have to really address the issues. If you declare a war on terror, if you declare a war on domestic terror and an attempt to affect homeland security, if you're going to do that, there's certain things you do. A, B, C, and D, 1, 2, 3, and 4, subchapter this, subparagraph that. Rand Beers says they're not doing it. They're playing games with the American public. He says the Homeland Security Department is underfunded. There's been no follow-through on cybersecurity, port security, infrastructure protection, immigration management. Authorities don't know where the sleeper cells are. Vulnerable segments of the economy, like the chemical industry, in his words, cry out for protection. But you see, the Bush crime family is into rhetoric. They are amateurs, they are thugs, they are killers. Now, Sean McCormick, who is a spokesman for Bush's National Security Council, was asked about this guy, Rand Beers. What about him? Sean McCormick says, at the time he submitted his resignation, he said he had decided to leave government. We thanked him for his 3 decades of government service. End quote. This little twerp declined to comment further. He's got nothing to say about Rand Beers, because even Sean McCormick, the insiders, they know what's going on. They understand. They're part of it. Now, people who have observed this in Washington, people inside the Beltway, people who know more about this, the long knives operating against each other in the Bush administration to a far greater degree than you and I do, say this was a rare event. Paul Light, a scholar with the Brookings Institute, said, quote, I can't think of a single example in the last 30 years of a person who has done something so extreme. Quitting the Bush, in this instance, the Bush administration, going to work for the opposition, the Kerry campaign. Mr. Light says that what Rand Beers saw was so egregious, quote, he wants to make a difference in the world by getting his former boss out of office, end quote. Now, the way this will be spun by the right-wing ghouls who infest and dominate talk radio and talk television is, although Beers has worked in 3 Republican administrations, he's a registered Democrat. Well, there you go. There you go. When Beers joined the White House counterterrorism team last August, he was a member of the National Security Council, but he specifically joined the counterterrorism team because, like a lot of people who are not part of the Bush cabal, he honestly believed, apparently, at some point, that they were serious. But when he joined the counterterrorism team last August, according to the Washington Post, that unit had suffered several abrupt departures. People had warned him that the job was impossible. Now, this is the guy who replaced Oliver North, on Ronald Reagan's NSC staff. Replaced him as the director of counterterrorism and counter-narcotics. So, regardless of what you think of him, the guy's had experience. But his frustration with the culture in this sick, degenerate, corrupt White House is what finally got to him. According to the Washington Post, he didn't want to discuss it, but his wife, Bonnie, a school administrator, was not hesitant. She said, quote, "It's a very closed, small, controlled group. This is an administration that determines what it thinks and then sets out to prove it." Isn't that ass backwards? Of course it is. That's my quote, not hers. She goes on, "There's almost a religious kind of certainty. There's no curiosity about opposing points of view. It's very scary. There's kind of a ghost agenda," end quote. Now, shortly after Rand Beers resigned, he joined the Kerry campaign. And according to Post, he had briefly considered a think tank or an academic job, but he realized that he, quote, "never felt so strongly about something in my life," end quote, than he did about changing current U.S. policies. That would be Bush policies. And then he says, of the Democratic candidates, Kerry offered the greatest expertise in foreign affairs and security issues. Both Rand Beers and John Kerry served in Vietnam. And as a civil servant, Beers liked Kerry's emphasis on national service. So there you have it. That's what our caller a few moments ago was talking about. It was in the Washington Post Monday. That this guy in the innermost inner circle really saw what this corrupt, filthy administration is doing to this country, to our reputation around the world, to our reality around the world. And decided he couldn't participate. This is a guy who served in three Republican and one Democratic administration. 30 years this guy's been in service. National Security Council all the way back to 1981. What does this intelligence insider know? Well, he knows what you and I have been talking about for months. There are no weapons of mass destruction. This corrupted Bush administration went after the oil and the military bases and a false sense of security for Israel. And I think the Israelis understand that it is false, i.e. witness the terror that continues on both sides in the Middle East. I I've said it 1,000 times on this program. I cannot understand why we, the American people, continue to allow this kind of murderous, illegal regime to be in power. Well, it's our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief. Marianne is checking in. Hey, Marianne.
Hey, good evening, Michael. I've been listening to you, and the thing.
Did you read that article in the Post?
Yes, I actually have read through a lot of BuzzFlash articles today, and I did read through that, and I thought, well, you know, this doesn't surprise me one bit.
No.
I mean, the problem is not that we have, you know, a bunch of thugs in power. I mean, that's just.
That's a given.
From the schoolyard to, you know, the
White House, yeah.
The board of directors or whatever. But the problem is twofold. One is that, you know, we have a system set up that we're supposed to check this. And with the checks and balances in the Constitution where regards the responsibilities of the Congress, of the mm-hmm. representatives, and they gave that up.
They did.
Right?
They did.
Now, and number two, I think people know. I mean, I don't think anymore it's a matter of the information not getting out there. Oh, certainly the spin is out there big time, but the information is out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there was kind of a bad made-for-TV movie about Hitler not so long ago, but there were some interesting lines in it, and one of which I think came out of the Matthew Modine character playing the newspaper editor
right.
and saying, like, people... don't want to know the truth because they feel that if they actually did, they'd have to do something about it.
Exactly.
And I've sort of discussed this before. I mean, we are just one big experiment, and things have been going relatively well for a good chunk of us, educated white people, and we don't want to, I mean, it's hard for us to get used to the fact that, gee, you know, history isn't over with.
Yeah.
And that we do get confronted with good, literally good and evil, and we're called upon to do something.
Hey, hold that thought, Marianne, because I've got to take a break here. I'll come right back. We have to decide between good and evil and do something. Let's pick it up right there. Quick break. We'll be right back.
We thought you were already fine, and you don't have to take
Want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
The Bushites have hoisted themselves on their own political petard, and ouch, that can hurt. The petard in question is George's famous campaign slogan, promising that he would leave no child behind. That's a sweet thought, but it recently smashed up against the rock-hard right-wing ideology of plutocracy that is the governing ethic of this bunch, an ethic that basically preaches, leave no millionaire behind, and everyone else take the hindmost. At issue was George W.'s $350 billion tax giveaway to the wealthiest of the wealthy, the least needy families in America. The millionaire class will enjoy an average of about $93,000 a year from Uncle Sugar in this giveaway. There's even a special Hummer deduction tucked into the bill, sort of like a prize in a box of Cracker Jacks. It gives a tax deduction of up to $100,000 to business owners who buy a vehicle weighing at least 6,000 pounds. To provide a political sham for this rip-off by the rich, the Bushites tossed in a $400 per child increase in the child tax credit, allowing George to proclaim with a straight face that his plutocratic boondoggle will, quote, reduce tax rates for everyone who pays income taxes. But oops, he lied. Nearly 12 million children live in low-income working families that do pay income tax, but were simply excluded from George's $400 tax credit. That's one in every six children that he left behind, including, ironically, the children of some 200,000 men and women of the military. Yet, when confronted with this, Tom DeLay, the Bushites' chief operative in the House, waved his hand dismissively and barked, "There are a lot of things more important than that."
This is Jim Hightower saying, yeah, Tom, things like integrity, fairness, and honesty. There you have their compassionate conservatism. $100,000 for Hummer owners, and not even $400 for the children of poor working families.
We've just seen the first war of the 21st century, and there's universal approval of the statements I have made, and I'm confident there will be universal approval of the actions this government takes.
Well, guess what, stupid? Didn't work out that way, did it? We're talking with our bureau chief from Aurora, Illinois, Marianne. Now, we're back to good versus evil vis-a-vis this administration, obviously.
Well, it's also the personal responsibility, your rights and duties as a citizen,
mm-hmm.
you know, which, as I've said before, is not something that's ever meant to go on autopilot. And we sort of did. We got lulled a little bit, I think, some of us during the Clinton administration, that, you know, certainly, especially when he was able to solve certain considered unsolvable problems, that, mm-hmm. you know, you... Once these things go away, things are getting better, you think that, well, this just kind of all works out by itself until you rediscover that it doesn't. You
right.
know, oops, yeah. Of course, particularly in the right, their mantra with Bill Clinton, since they kind of proved wrong about him, was to fall back in the position that government really didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like hell, you know, you wouldn't be spending $200 million getting somebody elected if you didn't think it didn't matter.
Sure.
And, but, you know, I think a lot of us, because if you really did face up to the responsibility, I mean, the reality of what's going on here, that's kind of overwhelming in terms of the responsibility. You have to go against, your own fellow citizens, because I think a lot of what's going on is people, even if they're confronted with, like, outright lying of this administration, I think there's going to be a very diehard chunk that wants to hold on to the, we're number one, we killed the bad guys, they will not want to give that up.
Mm-hmm.
Even as they're losing their jobs, and their kids' schools are deteriorating, and the crime rate's going up, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how you get to those people.
I honestly have decided over the past 6 or 7 years that it's impossible to get to those people.
But, okay, so maybe we don't get to them, but then how do we get to the likes of Bob Kerry, John Kerry? I mean, this fellow Beers went over to his campaign, yet John Kerry was one of the ones that voted for
Kerry's excuse now, and a lot of Democrats is, they didn't understand what they were doing, whether it was USA Patriot Act, whether it was signing off. So many Democrats, leading Democrats, are saying, well, we thought there was going to be a second, the need for second resolution. You know, they all have excuses.
I don't believe that for one instant.
Well, I don't know. I'm not cutting them any slack. I'm just saying that's what they're saying.
Well, you actually met a few of them. Do you think that they were actually that naive about these guys? I mean, they know them a little more up close and personal than we do.
I'm beginning to wonder. I think one of the disillusioning moments in my life was meeting these people and then coming back and talking with them. With the exception, there were a few exceptions. Mm-hmm. I think Carl Levin is absolutely dedicated to getting this group of termites out of office.
Well, he has a long track record in that.
Yes,
regard.
He does.
So,
but so many of the people that we met thought we were having substantive conversations with, it turns out that we probably weren't. As far as the party leadership is concerned, people like Daschle and Pelosi, whom we also talked with, I've kind of just given up on those people.
Well, sometimes you're up in those circles, and you know everybody treats you well, even if you're the minority party, and
right.
you think in terms of just playing the game that positions you personally in a position of power, maybe.
Right.
And there's always politics going on, but there's, you know, sometimes when just needs you.
Yeah, when the republic is at risk.
Yeah.
When it's apparent that there is a group in power in this country far worse than the Nixon or the Reagan, and arguably manifesting far worse than Pappy Bush. certainly way beyond Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? I mean, they've got to be removed or this republic ends.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's very comforting to think that people are reasonable. And I know even my own father, who is very successful but incredibly naive and just beginning, and actually well-connected in the Democratic Party in Michigan, is now just beginning to wake up to these guys.
People who are
in the trenches fighting them. Your substitute host yesterday had some fellow who was on doing something very commendable. He was representing Kuwaitis being held in Guantanamo Bay. And, you know, his reasoning was, well, you know, of course, the Bush administration only is concerned about national security. I had to get on the line and say, no way.
Marianne, we have to leave it there.
Okay, Mike.
Thank you, dear heart.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate your call. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The mud beneath coastal waters is a living factory and a key to restoring the nearshore environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Excess nutrients in coastal waterways upset the balance in marine ecosystems. The main culprit is nitrogen, which people use as fertilizer. Nitrogen runoff in the United States has doubled the amount that enters marine ecosystems.
Nitrogen is a plant food, and plants are fish food, so it should be potentially a positive thing to have more nitrogen in the marine environment. But for a variety of reasons, too much nitrogen produces too much plant growth. It ends up depleting the oxygen in the water and having a lot of harmful effects.
That's Ann Giblin, a biochemist at the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Giblin studies underwater soils that filter out nitrogen and release it as a harmless gas. She works in estuaries where rivers flow into the ocean.
The process we're studying is called denitrification, and it's a process carried out by bacteria. And these bacteria live in the mud, and they take the nitrogen that's in a chemical form as fertilizer that you and I would put on our gardens, and they use it in a different way, and they convert it into nitrogen gas, which most plants don't use.
Giblin monitors bacterial activity in estuaries along the coast of Massachusetts, where rivers feed into Boston Harbor and Plum Island Sound. She compares the rates at which different estuaries remove nitrogen from their waters.
And by knowing which estuaries are more effective at nitrogen removal and what's controlling that to some extent, we might be able to at least make predictions about whether land use change in one area is apt to have a greater effect than in another area.
Giblin's work will help identify areas that could benefit most from land use strategies and treatment systems to remove the excess nutrients. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Nancy in Hollywood, Florida just sent this email, and it's kind of interesting. Let me share it with you. Dear Mike, you yell at us for, quote, letting this happen, close quote. We the people can't do anything. The ballots have reverted to no paper trail via machines sold by the Republicans. I do everything I can. I read everything. I participate in local elections, try to get Shrub 2 out in Florida. I feel helpless and hopeless, yet not apathetic, desperately seeking hope. Nancy, Hollywood, Florida. Just a slight correction, Nancy. I don't yell at us. I'm sorry to put it in terms of us and them, but that's about where we're at. I'm deeply disappointed in my fellow citizens, just like you are, Nancy. Just like our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief, Marianne, is. Just like most of the people who listen to this program, participate in this program. Deeply disappointed, shocked, just dumbstruck at the willingness of the American public at this point to continue to participate in this fraud, in this situation we're faced with. But I'm sorry if it comes. It probably does come across as bitching on my part. American sheeple. I'm not referring to you. I am referring to the 58% of the American public who still thinks George W. Bush is a leader of any sort on any level. I don't care what it is, business, government, military, anyone who thinks this stupid moron is a leader on any level, to me, is beyond the pale. And as Marianne pointed out, raised the question, how can those people be reached? I don't think they can, because as Marianne pointed out, they're too diverted away from the truth of what's happening and can't accept the truth. Now, people who listen to this program, who are a hell of a lot smarter than I am, have suggested all sorts of ways to reach those people, those 58% or whatever the number is today, the people who support Bush, the people who say it doesn't make any difference if we went to war under false pretenses, it doesn't make any difference. I don't know what to, I don't know how to reach those people. I really don't. And I'm, like I said, people much wiser than I, much more elastic than I am, are doing their damnedest to reach those people. And I bless you for it. More power to you. I hope you succeed. I can't do it. You heard tonight, if you were listening in the first hour, I get one guy call in here who wants to tell me I'm lying because I said that Bush disrespects our military, doesn't give a tinker's damn about our dead soldiers, our live soldiers, our once and future soldiers. He doesn't care. And this guy wanted to tell me I'm a liar because I said that Pappy Bush committed our troops to Somalia. I made an effort. If you were listening, you heard, like I always do, I try. It's pointless. All right, Timothy has been holding on here forever. Timothy is calling from Chicago. I know this is your first time calling this program, Timothy, but you used to call us at WLS, right?
I did.
Well, thanks for your patience. I'm sorry for the...
And welcome back.
Thank you.
In Chicago, where the stench of corruption is ever fresh.
So. Isn't it?
But I thought I'd try and cheer you up.
Okay.
So I am an optimist by nature, so let's try a couple good things going
okay.
on right now. First of all, what's the best-selling book?
Well, Hillary's book. But,
that's right.
But I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing. I mean, come on. I've got no axe to grind with Hillary Clinton. I think she was put through unmitigated hell by the Arkansas Project. On the other hand, any woman who's been through what she's been through, who says she was shocked, I tell you, to find out that her husband and Monica Lewinsky were having a dalliance, when I think anybody with an IQ over room temperature understood that Bill Clinton was just a hound dog. I mean, he was like JFK. Are we to believe that Jackie Kennedy never knew that her husband? So that's what I'm saying. I've got no axe to grind with the woman. I really don't. I hope her book sells 10 million copies, if for no other reason than to thoroughly piss off the right wing in this country.
Well, it may do that. And, another thing it will do from all reports, and I confess I haven't read it yet, so I've got to go buy it now. But,
right.
One thing that it does contain is a lot of policy based penmanship, and there's tons of information on good policy. So
yeah, I think her book should be read, along with David Brock's book, and along with Sidney Blumenthal's book. along with Joe Connison and Gene Lyon's book,
yep.
The Hunting of the President, Blumenthal's book, Hillary's book, David Brock's book, I think that it's a good thing to read those four, and I'm sure there are a couple more, Greg Palast's book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, to find out, to understand from five or six different perspectives how these people took control of this country.
And, you know, read the other side, too. Just make sure it's from the library, not from the bookstore.
Well, I make it a habit of never reading the other side because I know their scam. I know their story.
Yeah.
I've been listening to their story since the Nixon years. They disgust me. They are contemptible. It sometimes makes me ill to think I share the same culture, the same country, the same society as these right-wingers do. They're despicable. I hate them all. I try not to focus on it because, you know, I don't want to die in my own hatred. But I have no interest at all in reading the right wing. All you have to do is turn on any radio station, turn on any television station, and for the most part, read the front page of any newspaper, and you'll see their story right there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, leads to my next point. Great news.
Okay.
Time.com.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's not Moses with the tablet, so who knows if it's true or not, but reporting that Al Gore is trying to start, or at least encouraging the start of, a television network.
Well, I wish him all the success in the world. I don't know exactly what he means. I subscribe to Time, so it'll probably be in the issue that comes out over this weekend.
Yep.
But starting a television network is
difficult.
Well, it's ludicrous. Because I mean, what's he? Is he talking about a cable, a network? If it's a cable news network, okay, that's probably a pretty good idea. In order to do that, though, if it's a cable news network, you have to keep in mind who controls the cable companies.
Yep.
How difficult is it to get a new channel onto an existing cable or satellite system? It's not so hard, I guess, on the satellite system, but on a cable system. How easy will it be for the right-wing dominated and controlled media to deny access to another cable channel? What I'm saying?
It would be very easy. What I think you'd have to do is you'd have to buy MSNBC.
Oh, there you go.
You'd buy the third, you know, the struggling network.
Sure.
And hopefully buy it cheap and have the funds to do it and then use its carriage. And, you know, you probably have 6 months, and if you, you know, don't improve the ratings, they're going to kick your channel off the air.
Yeah, the problem, of course, as you know, MSNBC is owned. It's a consortium of Microsoft and General Electric.
Yep.
Is there a more powerful two companies on the planet than Microsoft and General Electric?
Yep.
General Electric, of course, is one of the biggest weapons producers on the planet. I don't know. I look at the...
As you know, General Electric, owner of NBC and CNBC, will not allow a cable network to carry CNBC and NBC without carrying MSNBC.
Right. So you see how this... It's kind of like a dog chasing its tail. I hope Al Gore succeeds. I hope the Drobnys succeed. I hope IE America Radio Network succeeds.
Yep.
I hope they all succeed. Do I have much?
You do know progressives have more income, and Al Gore voters have more income, and they are likely to spend more money on products and services that advertisers would want to sell them. And
well, like
so
I
there
said,
is a market for it, but
Like I say, I wish them all the best of luck. I work for my network is owned by the UAW. How many UAW union members vote Republican? You see what I'm saying? Vote against their own best interests. So these ideas about the possibility of progressives or liberals or even moderates, for God's sake, putting their money together and getting something out there, I've heard that story. I know it's a grand idea. I hope it succeeds. But the proof is in the pudding, right?
Yep.
So let's see what happens. Timothy, is that it? Something else?
Well, just very quickly, and then the third bit of good news, it looks like Canada is considering gay marriage now. So.
Yeah, they already have, I think.
Yep, so we've got our neighbors to the north. And
is this a proposal?
I think it's more than that. I think the Prime Minister now is talking about...
No, I was making a bad joke. I was making a bad joke, Timothy. I get in trouble for making bad jokes.
I heard you earlier say you were the... most gay-friendly?
Most pro-gay, heterosexual that I've ever met. I have a lot of friends who are happen to be heterosexual who are so-called pro-gay, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah.
But I'm talking from a purely political standpoint. I don't give a damn who sleeps with whom. It's none of my business.
Exactly.
I don't care. Whoever partners up with whomever, as long as you're happy, what difference does it make?
Me too. But I'm the same.
Right, but when I say pro-gay, I'm speaking strictly from a political point of view because I understand what gay people in this country have to deal with.
I just don't get it. I don't get why. You know, call me naive, I guess, but I guess I just don't get it, why it bothers people so much.
Don't even try to figure it out. You'll go insane.
Probably.
Yeah. Thanks, Timothy.
Thank you.
Good night. All right, sir. Appreciate your call. The compassionate conservative George Bush, you heard about this AmeriCorps, which provides, that's the thing that was developed by Bill Clinton. Kind of a domestic Peace Corps, you know what it is. Provides educational grants for young community workers across the country. You've heard what's happened to it. It's being absolutely destroyed. It's being underfunded, defunded by the Republican Congress and George Bush. George Bush mouths, "Oh, I want to increase it to 75,000 people," but then he tells Tom DeLay, and he tells the Republican leadership in the Senate, Bill Frist, and the rest of these thugs. Kill it. Gut it. So they're doing it. I can't think of a time when we have greater need for a domestic Peace Corps than right now. And it's being destroyed. AmeriCorps officials said they would like to be able to support 35,000 workers this year, which is a 30% reduction. But even that, there's not going to be money for it. New York Times lead editorial today. The spirit of service betrayed. About how Bush, in his State of the Union address in 2002, spoke with his phony, fake-ass passion about marshaling the public-spiritedness that was inspired by the attack on this country on September 11th. Going to expand opportunities for meaningful national service, including AmeriCorps, Bush's or Clinton's domestic volunteer program. Right? He's doing nothing of the sort. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen with AmeriCorps going down the pipes. Just a quick scan. First of all, the Detroit News. AmeriCorps, the national service program that has helped Detroit school children learn to read, built wheelchair ramps for the elderly, taught Michigan farmers how to avoid groundwater contamination, faces a cut as much as 85% this year. So Bush's bastard supporters can have their massive tax cuts. Detroit News says the drastic change in funding could eliminate many of the 24 programs now operating in Michigan. That's from Michigan. From the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. Seattle's Just Serve program. That's a program that they help battered women file protection orders. They teach conflict resolution skills to troubled teenagers. They advise victims of domestic violence, whether they're kids or women or whoever. Seattle's Just Service, that's what it's called, Just Serve, I'm sorry. They'll have to shut down because of cuts to the National AmeriCorps program. The program coordinator for Just Serve said, "We're gone. We're absolutely gone." He says, "We probably come in contact with 5,000 victims of violent crimes and 5,000 young people each year. Now these people will not be served." Where else? Where else is this ugliness going on? It's just, you know, from the New York Times to the Seattle newspaper to the Detroit News, this is the sickening, sickening side of the Bush crime family. You know, they mouth the pieties. They send Too Stupid to Be President out there with a speech, and they say, "Hey, go out there and sock it to the terminally gullible again. Talk to him about AmeriCorps. Talk to him about Bill Clinton's program, Domestic Peace Corps." It is incredible the amount of work these volunteers have done. And in return, they get help toward their education. They get up to about $4,700 after serving 2 years to further their own education. Now, they won't get that money. now there will be no volunteer corps or domestic peace corps. I don't know if you want to call it volunteer. Nobody's holding a gun to your head, but there is a payoff if you do it. Just under $5,000 to go to college. Is that so bad? But the Bush crime family, screw them. Just like Tom DeLay said when Bush's No Child Left Behind tax cut that screwed so many working class and poor children in this country. What did Tom DeLay say? We got more important things to think about than that. You know, like the inheritance tax that the House voted, was it today or yesterday, to end completely. It affects 0.1% of American families, but it generates a lot of money. Gone. Now, it's not really gone because the Senate will never, I don't think, allow it to pass, but the House Republicans. Republicans are psychotic, mean, mean-spirited. They're just ugly people. I don't like Republicans anymore. I don't like any of them. So AmeriCorps, down the drain. So the Bush crime family's cohorts can have their trillions of dollars of tax cuts. Nice stuff, huh? All right, quick break. We'll be back and to your phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got her down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
The P.
Peter Worby Show.
Doug's in Santa Fe listening to KTRC.
Isn't it good that the people that are in power can always contradict themselves?
Yeah, did
prostitution
you...
Prostitution wasn't legal in Iraq, but yet Saddam Hussein had a series of concubines, one of which our CIA and federal government was getting information on him prior to the war.
Right. Turned out he uses Viagra. But so does Bob Dole. But so does Bob Dole. And thank you for Viagra. How many people are getting to go to Viagra Falls these days that previously couldn't? So it's a good thing.
Did you know this? That Saddam also wrote romance novels, writes them, writes plays and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and he likes Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
He takes Viagra, puts on the Frank Sinatra tunes, and off he goes.
The Peter Worby Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, pathetic. Too?
I mean, I hate the guy.
And you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Coming back after the break, we're going to do a couple of things. Your phone calls, of course. But we're going to play some sound for you from Donald Rumsfeld. Also from the soon-to-be-gone Ari Fleischer, and hopefully the soon-to-be-gone George Bush. And I want to get to that. So if you've been holding on for an extraordinarily long period of time, I do apologize, but we have to get to these sound bites coming back. Now, before we go into the next break, remember we talked about the cards that were handed out to the U.S. military about praying for George Bush? Current issue of Harper's has that... it's from a pamphlet published by In Touch Ministries. The pamphlet exhorts its readers to pray for Bush and consider fasting as you beseech the Lord on George Bush's behalf. And thousands of these were distributed to U.S. soldiers in Iraq. They're supposed to fast. Listen to this. Here's what you're supposed to do. On Monday, pray that the president and his advisors will be strong and courageous to do what is right, regardless of critics. On Tuesday, pray that the president and his advisors will have the unified support of the American people as well as that of other countries around the world. On Wednesday, pray that the president, his advisors, and their families will be safe, healthy, well-rested, and free from fear. On Thursday, pray that the president and his advisors will be successful in their mission and that world peace will be realized. On Friday, pray that the president and his advisors will recognize their divine appointment and will govern accordingly in compassion, mercy, and truth. On Saturday, pray that the president and his advisors will remember to keep their eyes on Almighty God and be mindful that He is in control. And on Sunday, pray that the president and his advisors will seek God and His wisdom daily and not rely on their own understanding. This was handed out to American soldiers going into combat. Pray that the president, his advisors, and their families will be safe, healthy, well-rested, and free from fear. You guys out there with the guns, screw you. Go die. George Bush has been divinely appointed. Go die. Just go die. This is so sick.
Thank you.
to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
If we don't care and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The man who led the Washington, D.C. area sniper shootings task force has quit his post. Montgomery County, Maryland officials say Police Chief Charles Moose has submitted his resignation to the county. Moose has been in hot water recently over a book he wrote called 3 Weeks in October. The book, which features his account of the sniper shootings, investigation, and arrests, is being sold ahead of its fall release on Amazon.com. Earlier this year, a county ethics board ruled he stopped the book and pending movie projects because they violate conduct rules forbidding county employees from using the prestige of their office for personal gain. There is still no official word on Moose's reason for resigning. White House spokesman Ari Fleischer continues to dismiss tough talk from North Korea as part of President Bush's axis of evil in the global war on terrorism.
North Korea has a rather dramatic history of engaging in rhetorical excesses. And I think that continues now.
North Korea is threatening to step up its nuclear efforts. The North has also accused the U.S. of hypocrisy and of sticking its nose where it doesn't belong.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of 3 herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
The Canadian government will move forward with a plan to legalize gay marriages. Canadian Prime Minister Jean Chrétien says their government decided yesterday not to appeal an Ontario provincial court decision allowing such unions.
We will not be appealing the recent decision on the definition of marriage. Rather, we'll be proposing legislation that will protect the right of churches and religious organizations to sanctify marriage as they define it.
The government now plans to draft legislation to legalize same-sex marriages and ask the Supreme Court to rule on its constitutionality. It would then be sent to Parliament for a vote. In the meantime, gay marriages will be valid only in Ontario. A study by a Texas A&M University wildlife expert has found that male squirrels are more likely than female squirrels to end up as roadkill. Dr. Roel Lopez told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that his year-long study of fox squirrels found that male squirrels were more likely than their female counterparts to run out in front of a car and get flattened. Dr. Lopez says the fact that male squirrels travel faster makes them more attractive targets for cars and trucks. It's not that they're dumber, Lopez says. They're just not as careful. While most of the female squirrels Lopez studied were killed by predators, 100% of the male squirrel deaths occurred on the highway.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
If the teachers' union gets its way, there may soon be a state law that limits the class sizes in New York City's public schools. United Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten is spearheading a petition drive to create a commission that would study the issue and determine how much it would cost to reduce the number of children in each classroom.
There are three things that are really, really important in schooling. You have to have a qualified teacher in front of every single classroom. Teachers and kids need to connect, and that's where lower class size comes into play. And number three, you have to have safe schools.
The union needs 45,000 signatures by July 5th to get the proposed commission onto the ballot for voters to decide. Union leaders hope to collect more than 100,000 signatures. Stocks turned in a mixed performance today with blue chips sagging, but there was some strength in technology. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 29 points to 92.93. The NASDAQ was up 8 to 16.77. The S&P 500 lost nearly 2 points to 10.10. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. In the past 2 or 3 days, 5 or 6 more American soldiers have been shot dead in Iraq. Ambushes, sniper attacks. By the same token, in the past 5 or 6 days, American troops have killed a number of Iraqi civilians. Now, George Bush made a big deal about mission accomplished. You remember that with his photo op. Don Rumsfeld really doesn't give a damn about dead Americans. He never has and he never will, nor does George Bush. None of these people care about how many Americans are killed. They damn sure don't care about how many people other than Americans are killed, whether they are, oh, it doesn't matter. No matter what their nationality is, it doesn't matter to them at all. Their goal is power, military bases, oil, a false sense of security for Israel, money in their pockets, payoff to their backers. The American people can be damned. Now, that's fine. But when we commit troops to go fight, to go kill, and possibly die, first of all, it should be based on the truth. Secondly, there should be a profound respect for people who are consigned the killing for this society. Whether you and I agree with the killing or not, the decision is made. And these are young people. These are people in their late teens, early 20s, who are sent off to kill other people. These are young people who are sent off to run the risk of being killed themselves. The killing of Americans continues in Iraq and in Afghanistan. Rumsfeld played down these recent deadly attacks on Americans. He did it today, and I'm going to play some sound for you. He equated those losses, our dead soldiers, with everyday violence in large U.S. cities. Think about that. That is how disrespectful. We are involved in an invasion and occupation of a foreign country, and American soldiers are being shot dead. They are killing people in return. Rumsfeld says it's no difference than violence in large cities. About 50 American soldiers have died since mission accomplished on May 1st. Between March 20th, when the war started, and May 1st, 138 Americans died from accidents or hostile fire. So the after-the-war killing is approaching the during-the-war killing of American soldiers. Rumsfeld said, while the deaths of U.S. troops generate what he calls a deep sorrow, he believes the American people feel the sacrifices are worthwhile. Well, by God, I don't. Do you? How about the parents? How about the parents of these American soldiers being snipered out, being ambushed out? Do you think they think that this is well worth it? Do you think that the parents of these dead Americans now think that the sacrifice of their sons is worthwhile? Why doesn't Rumsfeld ask these parents? And Rumsfeld said, here's a quote, "You got to remember that if Washington, D.C. were the size of Baghdad, we would be having something like 215 murders a month. There's going to be violence in a big city." And then Rumsfeld noted that Baghdad has 6 million residents. American soldiers are being gunned down in a place they should not be. And this rotten bastard Donald Rumsfeld makes these kinds of comments about 18 and 19 and 20 and 21-year-old American soldiers. Now, I've got some combat vets who listen to this program. And I'm sorry for you to listen to this, because I know it just turns your guts into knots. Because you were in this too. You know who you are. You know who I'm talking about. You were in combat. You know what it's like. And here Donald Rumsfeld equates American soldiers being shot to death with violence in big cities in this country. Wolfowitz, another filthy thug that now assists in the control of this country, said, quote, "We are still in a phase in Iraq where we need some significant combat power." But I thought Bush said mission accomplished. I thought the major combat was finished. I thought we won. Wolfowitz says he thinks U.S. forces, quote, "have the sympathy of the population," end quote. Can these people be that blind, or is that strictly for U.S. consumption? Oh, Christ. I mean, some of this stuff, when I come across these stories, I don't know. I like I've told you before, I want to start smashing things. Department of Defense briefing today. After awarding this little tyrant, Jay Garner, who was the Director of Reconstruction and Humanitarian Assistance in Iraq. Huh? How's that title? After awarding Jay Garner the Defense Department Distinguished Medal for Public Service in recognition of his exceptionally distinguished service as the director of the Office of Reconstruction and Humanitarian Assistance in post-war Iraq. These
these pigs give each other medals for what they're doing. Now, here's Rumsfeld. Contrary to all reports, even the cowardly American media is starting to report this. Contrary to all the reports, Rummy wants to tell us things are just dandy in Iraq.
In the north and south, electric service is better than it's been in 12 years. Basra has power 24 hours a day, I'm told. Baghdad is now averaging something like 18, 19, or 20 hours a day. There has not been a major health crisis. There is not a humanitarian crisis in the country. All of the non-governmental experts who've gone in have indicated that that's the case.
Non-governmental experts. Those are people like Jay Garner. Those are people like this Paul Bremer. What is he, an ex-oil company thug who's now running the country? There is not a humanitarian crisis? Ask the parents of the soldiers who are being killed because of Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz and George Bush and Dick Cheney's game. Ask them. On the recent criticism of the ongoing violence in Iraq, you know, we're losing about a soldier a day there. Rumsfeld had this to say.
You'll recall that when President Bush indicated that the major military activities had ended, we said very explicitly that did not mean that that was the end of kinetics, that there would continue to have to be significant efforts to root out the remnants of the regime. That's been going forward. And there's no question but that in those regions where pockets of dead enders are trying to reconstitute, General Franks and his team are rooting them out.
That was what? You'll recall that when Bush indicated that the major military activities had ended, we said very explicitly that did not mean that was the end of kinetics. Kinetics? What, as in kinetic energy? What is that, Kathy? Mechanical energy? Is that what he's talking about? Kinetics? No, you rotten, rotten man. It's not kinetics. It's American soldiers dropping like flies. It's Iraqi civilians being shot dead. Kinetics? Kinetics. Let's talk to the parents of dead American soldiers and say, well, your son was involved in kinetics and he's dead now. Sorry about that. Answering a reporter's question. The question was, Mr. Secretary, is there any sign of any central control over these, as you call them, dead enders, who have now killed 42 American troops since Bush declared major hostilities at an end? And what do you think the tolerance of Americans is for these continuing deaths of U.S. troops?
I think the American people have a very good center of gravity, and I wouldn't sell them short if I were you. I think you'll find that they're seeing the mass graves that exist in that country. They're getting a good sense of the nature of that regime and the numbers of hundreds and thousands of people that were killed by that regime. And I believe that they feel that this is a worthwhile effort on our part, that it is something that is, it reflects the American spirit, and they recognize the difficulty of the task.
The arrogance of you twisted SOB, your arrogance. The American people have a good center of gravity? And because we see mass graves, graves filled with corpses that we are told were the result of Saddam Hussein's butchery of Shias after the first Bush administration exhorted the people to rise up and then abandoned them. And for that reason, American soldiers are to stand there and be shot dead? You bastard. You bastard. That doesn't reflect the American spirit, Rumsfeld, that we are willing to send our sons, our fathers, our husbands to go be shot dead in your video game. That's not the American spirit. The American spirit would be to ride your ass out of town on a rail. That would be the American spirit. Here he is again. Now, I want you to check the vague, nonsensical answer to the reporter's question. The reporter's question is, Mr. Secretary, on your trip to Europe, you said that any criticism that U.S. intelligence about weapons of mass destruction had been overplayed or exaggerated by the administration was ridiculous, that that simply had not happened. So I'm curious how you came to that conclusion and how you know that for a certainty.
My personal view is that that their intelligence has been, I'm sure, imperfect, but good. In other words, I think the intelligence was correct in general, and that you always will find out precisely what it was once you get on the ground and have a chance to talk to people and explore it. And I think that'll happen.
You bastard. You bastard. Our people have been on the ground over there for weeks, for months. There are no weapons of mass destruction. There haven't been since probably 1994, and you knew it.
Attention all plaintiffs. If personal injury, medical malpractice, accident, or other disaster has left you helpless and desperate, call now 800-586-5493 and receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Express lawsuit funding provides no risk, no payments needed cash to people with pending lawsuits. The money is yours until your case settles. You pay nothing. We only collect when your lawsuit settles. Call us now. 800-586-5493. Your lawsuit has merit, and the cash is yours to do with whatever you need. Take care of living expenses, credit cards, car payments. No payments needed until your case settles. No employment requirements. No credit checks. Call now. 800-586-5493. Your cash is waiting for your call. Express Lawsuit Funding is waiting to help you. Call 800-586-5493.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
I want to
Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
I have said repeatedly, we are in a dangerous phase of this war. And as we learned, we lost life. But nevertheless, it is worth it, and it is necessary.
Yeah, well, send your daughters over there, Bush. Send your nephews over there. Man. Now, Ari Fleischer today, at his press briefing, all the liars were out there today. Every one of these pigs were out there today. A reporter has a question about the invisible weapons of mass destruction. The reporter says, well, first of all, they captured this guy, Mahmoud al-Tikriti. I guess he's the Ace of Diamonds. What was he, Kathy? Was he their weapons man or something? Saddam's number one bodyguard or something? Jesus, this is sickening, isn't it? Oh, isn't this so much fun? We've captured 35 of the 55 now. We almost have a flush or a full house. God, to trivialize war like this. The reporter says, the apprehension of Mahmoud al-Tikriti, do you see that as being a potential boon in your so far fruitless hunt for weapons of mass destruction?
One on the interesting little twist to your question at the end there. I do want to remind you about the capture of the biological weapons laboratories, which is not an insignificant finding.
Oh, my God.
In fact, about the capture of the biological labs. Two, CENTCOM has issued a statement confirming the capture of the Ace of Diamonds. This is a significant capture.
Now, he can stand there and talk about the biological weapons laboratories. Every single expert on the planet has said these were trailers sold to Saddam's regime by the Brits. The Brits have sent their own team. They've said, yeah, these were used to produce hydrogen, to send up weather balloons in case of a war. The Iraqis want to know wind speed, wind direction, humidity, all this other stuff so they could fire their Al-Samud missiles or whatever the hell it was. And there he stands today, another absolute bastard standing there saying, I do want to remind you about the capture of the biological weapons laboratories. Two empty semi-trailers. And there he stands. Filthy, filthy pig. Now, Ari again, get his snotty remark as the same reporter presses him about the fact, as Ari called it, of these trucks. The reporter says this time, are you suggesting then that there is irrefutable evidence that the mobile labs that you claim were designed to produce biological weapons are in fact those laboratories?
But when you say fruitless, I just want to make certain that people understand that this has been a very careful search, and a search that has turned up things that we have previously talked about applying to the weapons of mass destruction program that the Iraqis have.
Understood, but unless it's absolutely confirmed that those were bioweapons labs, was my characterization not correct?
I think your characterization does not apply to the weapons labs, which we know have no other purpose other than for the production of biological weapons.
So you're saying there's no chance that they do produce hydrogen for weather balloons used in artillery?
I think that theory is full of hot air.
Yeah, so that's the end of that discussion. Ari Fleischer, another Bush pig, thinks that theory, it's not a theory, Fleischer, you moron. It's what the people who built them, the British, said they're for. Now, last night, we're almost finished. We got time for these, Kathy. Last night, Bush, at a Bush-Cheney in 04 reception at the Washington Hilton last night, where he begins his $200 million fundraising with no competition on the war on terror.
Terrorists declared war on the United States.
And war is what they got. On issue after issue, we acted on principle. We kept our word. And we made progress for the American people.
Terrorists declared war. Iraq didn't declare war, you idiot. Afghanistan didn't declare war, you moron.
But the years have taught me better. Good and evil do not matter. Their words are masters scattered to hide their bloody hands. And what's truth and what's illusion? What's order or confusion? Who's winning or who's losing? Just depends on where you stand.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. It's day 10 on the picket line for nearly 500 telephone repair workers in Kentucky with no end in sight. The Alltel Corporation bought its Kentucky operations from Verizon last year on the condition that the company honor all existing contracts, including its union's collective bargaining agreements. But two locals of the Communications Workers of America say the company hasn't lived up to its end of the bargain. They filed a complaint with the Kentucky Public Service Commission, as well as charges of bad faith bargaining with the National Labor Relations Board. A union spokesperson says Alltel wants to gut its health care obligations to retirees, increase health care rates, and wants free rein to hire outside contractors. No new talks are scheduled.
A national referendum to protect workers in Italy from unjust termination failed this week after less than half the electorate cast ballots on it. A general strike last year forced Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi to drop plans to reform Italian labor law, making it easier for companies to fire workers. That backlash led to the referendum, but only 23.4% of eligible voters made it to the polls. This opens the door for Berlusconi to try again and weaken worker protections, but there's no indications yet he's ready to do that.
The Bush administration's quashing of safety regulations on a list of poisonous chemicals has labor groups accusing the White House of toxic politics. The regulations, which were first drafted during the Clinton administration, were supposed to have regulated the use of a range of chemicals that have been linked to a host of injuries and deaths among U.S. workers, including an explosion at a New Jersey plant that killed five in 1995. But recently, the Bush White House quietly shelved the proposal. According to the Center on Public Integrity, industry groups opposed to the plan gave Bush and Cheney more than $216,000 in the run-up to the 2000 presidential election.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
Just a couple more from Too Stupid to Be President. Oh, God, have I said tonight how much I loathe these people? I guess I have, haven't I? But last night, reception at the Washington Hilton for the kickoff for the Bush crime family to raise $200 million to run unopposed. in the primaries to get his reelection campaign, to fight whatever Democrat is going to be nominated up against him. You have to wonder. Let me rephrase it. I have to wonder. I cannot imagine what kind of ghouls and monsters sit in the dark at the Washington Hilton, stuffing their white faces with whatever food is being served to them, writing out these huge checks, and sitting there listening to this moron talk about his murderous regime, his death and destruction, his gutting of this country. And they sit there and they write the checks. And I want you to hear what he says here. This punk has used the Clinton military, and he's used it miserably, for two separate engagements now, Afghanistan and Iraq. He has done everything in his power to destroy the lives of the soldiers who are sent into these battles, cutting funding for veterans' benefits, cutting funding that goes to school districts where these veteran, where these active duty soldiers have their families. While these young men are killing and being killed for this Bush corrupt crime family, their children back in their school districts are having benefits cut left and right. Now listen to what he says to these pasty-faced, fat-walleted thugs who will write the checks to get George Bush reelected. Listen to this.
2.5 years ago, our military was not receiving the resources it needed, and morale was beginning to suffer.
You punk.
We increased the defense budget to prepare for threats of a new era. And today, no one in the world can question the skill and strength and spirit of the United States military.
Where were you, George, when it was your turn to step up? 2.5 years ago, our military was not receiving the resources as needed. Well, that may be, punk, but it was enough resource to take on two third world countries and beat the living hell out of them, wasn't it, George? Of course, your thuggish administration now, where it concerns the occupying forces in Afghanistan, your thuggish administration has completely, once again, abandoned the responsibility that you took on with your bombing raids. What does it take? How many reports from how many different news agencies have to come in to this sick, blind country? Reports that say the Taliban is reforming. Warlords control 90% of the country. Hamid Karzai runs Kabul, one city. Americans are being shot up over there. And the opium trade is flourishing. How many of those reports have to come in to this blind, sick United States before the American public says, hey, wait a minute? And how many American soldiers have to be shot one at a time in Iraq? And this thug stands there in front of these white-faced fat cats, separating them from their money so they can get their special privileges once he gets reelected. Environmental rules will gut them all. Public safety and health, they're gone. Education, screw them. And they write the checks. What kind of people are these? What kind of people are these people? Now here he is again. Same deal, Bush, Cheney in 04, reception last night at the Washington Hilton. The war on terror continues and continues and continues. This moron really does believe he was chosen by God to force his concept of freedom on the world. Listen to this.
Across this world, it has never been more clear that the future of freedom and peace depend on the actions of America. This nation is freedom's home and freedom's defender. We welcome this charge of history, and we will keep this charge of history. The war on terror continues. The enemies of freedom are not idle, and neither are we. The country will not rest, we will not tire, and we will not stop until the danger to the free world is removed.
Oh, my God. Last one. He still maintains that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Here he is yesterday speaking to Northern Virginia Community College in Annandale, Virginia. He still says it. He still says it.
We made it clear to the dictator of Iraq that he must disarm. We asked other nations to join us in saying to it that he would disarm, and he chose not to do so, so we disarmed him.
What?
And I know there's a lot of revisionist history now going on, but one thing is certain. He is no longer a threat to the free world, and the people of Iraq are free.
And they applaud him. The people of Iraq are dying. The people of Iraq are sick. The people of Iraq are in chaos. We disarmed him? That's what this guy just said? We disarmed him? Is he delusional? Disarmed him of what? What? What did we disarm Saddam Hussein of? God. There they stand. The murderous threesome, all complicit in mass murder of Americans, of civilians in foreign countries, blowing children's arms and legs off, destroying entire extended families, sending U.S. Marines and soldiers to their deaths for nothing. Ari Fleischer, Donald Rumsfeld, George Bush, there they are tonight in their own words. Don't you feel like you need to go take a shower? How did we get to this? King David is checking in. Thanks for holding on, David. You and a bunch of people have just been very indulgent tonight while I just prattle on and on and on.
No problem. You know, it's a filthy, thankless job, but somebody's got to do it.
There you go.
You know, I mean, by the way, just listening to these clips that you just played, it made me wonder, is George W. Bush possibly using a corked head?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he has nothing over Sammy Sosa. Of course he is. There's nothing in there but cork. This guy is crazy. I mean, you have to be insane, don't you, to make the kinds of statements that Bush made, that Ari Fleischer made. They are absolute, total lies, and you have to be even more insane to sit there and listen to this and then open up your checkbook and write this thug a check.
Yeah. And at least, you know, Sosa still has a few duplicates that they had to check. I don't think Bush has any more heads to
never assume that.
Okay.
David, I'm telling you, you know, this guy is an animatron or I don't know what he is, but when this head drops off, they'll have another one ready, I'm sure.
Well, you know, be that as it may, I'm sure you've been also keeping an eye on what's been going on in Benton Harbor.
Yeah, the killing, the rioting. The people in Benton Harbor. What's the other town right across the river?
St. Joseph.
Yeah, that's where the rich white people live.
And
where the unemployment rate in St. Joseph, that's also resorty. I think the unemployment is 3%. In Benton Harbor, it's 30%.
In St. Joseph, it's not even 3.
It's not even 3.
I think it's 2.3.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, and Benton Harbor, and I think both of these towns are only about 12,000 apiece.
Yeah, they're Kathy and I drove through there when we lived in Chicago one time. We were on our way up the coast of Michigan, and we drove through those two towns. I have never seen anything like that in my life, from the black town to the white town. It was just no pun intended, night and day. It was hell and semi paradise. I don't understand. Once again, black folk in this country are being treated like dogs, just like dogs. And so they respond. If you're going to treat me like an animal, I'll act like an animal. I would, too. Were I a black man, I never would have seen my last birthday. I would have been dead so long ago. It's infuriating.
And, as a matter of fact, I was watching one of the reports on CNN tonight. Apparently, over 50% of the population of Benn Harbor is under 21.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like Iraq. Sounds like Iran. 50% of the population, young people, nothing there for them. Nothing. And the dominating power, I don't care if it's an occupational army in Iraq or the white power structure in that area, Benton Harbor and St. Joe, whatever it is. Once again, people of color, young people, being just smashed into the ground. I don't know.
And one element that really surprised me was one of the reports that I saw tonight was on Lou Dobbs's CNN thing.
Yeah.
And Lou, who has this reputation for knowing something about economics,
yeah,
is wondering aloud, how can this happen in a small town in America in the 21st century?
Oh, Jesus. How can he happen on
network? I'm not on the field. Excuse me.
Yeah, really. How can Lou Dobbs happen?
And I have to wonder how many other Benton Harbors are out there, you know, just with the frustration almost waiting.
I know.
Yeah, you know, to be triggered somewhere. Yeah, you know, are we going to see another summer of 65, 66, 67?
If so, we richly deserve it.
So,
that's a hell of a thing to say, isn't it?
But there's also a lot of truth in it.
Yeah. Truth that America just hates to face. You know, we will spend literally trillions to cut taxes, to cut services, so that rich white people can put even more money into their pockets. We will cut services left and right. We will cut billions of dollars worth of services. We will make sure that nobody in this country has any kind of services so that these rich white thugs can get their money. And then when there's a little explosion, all the white power structure does is sit there and go, oh, well, I can't believe this is happening in small town America in 2003. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't think that it's so much, you know, cutting the services as they are changing the definition of service. They're now using the animal husbandry.
Okay, but but the end result is still, it's not a cut in taxes, it's a cut in services.
Yeah.
So, and as long as these insane people are in power, this country gets closer and closer and closer to the brink. I believe that. I don't mean to be an alarmist or a Chicken Little, but, man, unbelievable what they're doing.
So, only one quick comment about Friday night.
Sure.
I quote, of all people, Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
To those who get it, no explanation is necessary. To those who don't get it, no explanation is possible.
As possible. Thanks, King David.
All right, see you later.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Our Honolulu correspondent's checking in. Hey, Nadine.
Hi, how are you, Mike?
I mean bureau chief, not correspondent. My God, almost demoted you there. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing okay.
Good.
By the way, here's another thing that we've been noticing. As I keep telling people, get out of the echo chamber to a point and go check places on the web.
Right.
And I've been spending a lot of time on AOL boards, and I have been noticing something that is kind of the man in the street.
Yeah?
A lot of our Republicans are actually waking up.
You think so?
We're seeing a 4-to-1 ratio asking for Bush's removal now.
Well, I guess I should see that as a good sign.
It is a good sign.
Okay, I'll accept your assessment of it. Yeah.
The other thing that we're seeing is, remember '92 and that nice little civil war when they started pillaring senior.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's happening. I did spend 3 hours today listening to Rush and Company. They're pillorying Junior.
Who is?
The right.
Really?
Yes, we have a pretty... It's the divisions in the GOP are quite obvious between the paleocons and the neocons.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw your fundamentalist in there for good measure.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like a bona fide civil war. It's not the timing is wrong for Rush to be pillorying Bush for the Medicare program.
Well, you know my feeling about that, Nadine. Metaphorically speaking, I hope these two factions of the right wing take careful aim at each other. All of them fire at the same time, and they all fall down dead.
Oh, I fully agree with you. What right. I think is going on is what happened to the Tories with Thatcher. And literally, they took each other apart, so they haven't been able to regain power in how long?
Well, I'd love to see that happen in this country. I would love to see these Republican thugs dismantle their Stalinist apparatus. I'd like to see people like Limbaugh and Hannity and Savage and Medved and the rest of these right-wing radio talk show hosts disappear from the face of the earth. And I frankly don't care how they disappear. I wish a spaceship would come down and lift them off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, get the pot people out.
There you go.
But seriously, it looks like something extremely serious is brewing.
Well, keep...
Oh, the other thing is...
Very quickly...
MoveOn.org.
Yes.
For the primary.
Yes.
They have been told to go flip it and basically ask for Howard Dean. They're hoping that Howard Dean gets the nomination so he can destroy the Democratic Party.
Okay, there you go. Nadine, thanks.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you checking in.
Think, hesitate, lose control and you will sink. Think fast, think for yourself. Don't let the world be your own hell because it is so. It's so full of greed because it is so. It's so, so much need for independence, solidarity, unity and prosperity.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24-7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, I just have this feeling in the pit of my stomach that we're not going to get to everybody on hold. I deeply apologize because I know a lot of you have been holding on for a long time, like Jim, who's calling in from Tampa. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, no problem. It gave me time to find those weapons.
Okay. I know you've been holding on for a long time, but that long? All right. What's up?
Hey, you were talking about the mass graves in Iraq. And
right.
It's kind of like our soldiers were expendable because they found mass graves there.
That's what Rumsfeld's trying to say, yeah.
I mean, but...
Some of those mass graves, of course, go back to the war between Iran and Iraq back in the early mid-80s, and some of them go back to 91 and 92 when Pappy Bush told the Iraqis to rise up and then abandon them.
Absolutely. The thing is, though, Mike, what determines a mass grave? 10 bodies, 20, 50, 100? I mean, our soldiers could fill a mass grave, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could. Sure could. And our soldiers keep getting shot down one at a time, two at a time. But according to Bush and Rumsfeld and Ari Fleischer, the American people understand we're willing to continue to sacrifice our sons one at a time for these bastards.
How do they know that we understand?
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, I was calling up. Me and my wife called about 4 weeks ago trying to get involved in a democratic process down here. Apparently, our precinct, they need a person to help run it. So we called, and they were supposed to send us an application and some information. There's like one person working there.
Yeah.
And we haven't gotten anything. I mean, you got people willing to volunteer and help out to try to get this administration out of office, getting ready for the next election.
Right.
And then they can't even get freaking information out to people.
Well, if you call the Republican Party, they'll overwhelm you with information and help and logistical support. The Democratic Party is dying. In certain parts of the country, it's already dead. And unless Democrats can activate it, can pump some lifeblood into it, I'm terrified about what's going to happen. Have you tried contacting the state Democratic Party in Tallahassee?
No.
You might try that. God knows, in Tampa, there's obviously there's your experience tells you there's no Democratic Party active in Tampa. So try Tallahassee. Hey, there's the music, Jim. I'm sorry to cut you short, man.
Okay.
All right. Next time you call in, I promise I'll take you, and you won't have to hold on for an hour and a half like you did.
Okay, Mike.
Appreciate it, Jim. And for the folks who I didn't get your call, I do apologize. After being off for essentially 4 days in a row, a lot of ground to cover, right? Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Stephanie Stryker, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay, and Robin Bittman announces for us. Thanks to Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com for his wonderful work on our website. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern.